Hello, all you beautiful spirits. You are listening to WAIF Cincinnati, your favorite listener-supported radio station, 88.3 FM on your radio dial, and live streaming online at WAIF883.org. WAIF, as a community radio station, serves only to open its airways to responsible, divergent points of view. The opinions expressed on this program do not reflect those of WAIF, its board of trustees, staff, or programmers. The opinions expressed are my own views or those of my guest. So thank you so much for listening. My name is Reverend Louisa Dyer. I am an interfaith and metaphysical minister, and I am your host. Every Wednesday from 1 to 3 p.m., our show is Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within, and it is focused on spirituality and personal growth and giving you very practical ways to live happier, more peaceful lives and to actually reclaim the vitality that comes from living our deepest truth. And nothing is more important than that sense of being in tune with, connected with, that God spark that lives inside. And so my intention every week is to actually inspire you and bring forth that feeling of really being alive and growing and connected with that deepest, truest part of yourself. And today we actually have a special treat. We're going to do an interview with Mark Metz, who is the publisher and editor of Conscious Dancer magazine. We're going to be talking about dance as a spiritual practice. Transformational dance has been around for a long time, and so I'm welcoming especially all you new listeners who dance for the love of it, like I do. And I also dance, actually, to heal my soul, to heal my spirit. Mark Metz and Tony Bergens are going to be talking to us about dance as a conscious spiritual practice. Mark is the editor and publisher of Conscious Dancer magazine, and Tony Bergens, he works a lot with her. She is the creator of Journey Dance. So hello, Mark and Tony. How are you guys doing?
Hello. Great. Good to be here.
Good.
Very good. Thank you.
Good. And Mark, you are in Berkeley. And Tony, you are where?
I am in Great Barrington, Massachusetts.
Oh, wow. And is it gorgeous weather there?
It is. It is gorgeous weather here. We are so lucky right now.
Yeah, this is like the best time of year. And so, Mark, I have so many questions that I want to ask about everything. What I really want to focus on is really your personal journey with dance, with transformational or conscious dancing. But before we do that, I'd love you to just talk to our listeners a little bit about what the magazine is, Conscious Dancer, and, you know, what's in it, what's it do, what's it about. And then we'll hear a little bit about your journey with the magazine, if you don't mind sharing that. But just so folks have an idea of what the magazine is and where they might get it.
Okay, well, Conscious Dancer magazine was founded about 5 years ago now. And my former co-founder and my partner, Oscar, and I founded it back in 2007. And it's been a labor of love. And the goal of the magazine, or the aesthetic of the magazine, is to weave together, point out the connections between many, many different forms of dance and movement. And to kind of present them in a way that shows the holistic mind-body spiritual aspects. The underlying philosophy of the magazine really is that movement, dance, a birthright. Yeah, it's something that we all possess, and it can make us all, you know, be more embodied and feel better about our lives. And it's accessible to anybody. And people ask me, people say they can't dance. I think, can you sign your name? You know, sure. Because I feel like everybody's got a movement. But that's individually their own. Sometimes they just need a little permission or encouragement to, you know, let it expand.
You used a word that is one of my favorite words, and I would love to hear how you would really define that when you said embodied. I think that's such a powerful concept, and a lot of people haven't really thought about that. So when you said that, could you say a little bit more about why you think that even matters to be embodied?
Yeah, sure. You know, I feel like people and myself, I function better when I'm present and grounded and accountable. And you know, I think we all have that experience of being too much in our heads and having too many, you know, that overwhelming feeling of too much going on. And so whatever the target is, whether it's dropping your body or quieting the mind through movement or becoming more present in your own internal space, listening from within, those all sort of different ways of phrasing the same thing, which is, you know, being grounded, being more present, making decisions and moving through life from a centered, intuitive space.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of ways that could happen, and websitesforsonsconsciousanswer.com and the movement is, so people can find these things wherever they are. We have a map online now, so people can find classes and events around the world. You know, again, I think some people come naturally. You know, some people can just do a yoga practice in their own house and have it, but a lot of people need permission. I'm the type of person that, you know, it helps to have someone guide me or have someone there holding the space in the room and send permission to people to be in their bodies.
Right.
And find out what lessons there are inside.
Permission and probably structure.
Yeah, I mean, you know, my background over the years, I've always been involved with dance culture. And when I say dance culture, I mean more like underground or underground, but the, you know, it was live rock bands, and then it was electronic music, and, you know, there's been these various names on dance, specifically popping over Earth. And I've always felt that the, you know, the front edge of dance culture is somehow really the soft and the evolutionary way is percolating. So for me, it was a while ago, probably 10 years ago now, I started noticing how much things like five rhythms were happening all over the place. And they're ready to dance, and it's a very much different energy than people showing up at a nightclub or, you know, have a completely different agenda. And so I've just always been, especially the last 10 years, really encouraged about all these forms of, I guess, for lack of a better term, holistic movements, you know, these newer modalities that are fascinating. And I noticed a huge gray area in culture where nobody was really talking about it. There's lots of conversation about yoga. There's lots of conversation about, you know, regular dance on stage, go to Broadway, be a TV. There wasn't really much of a cultural conversation about, you know, mind-body fitness, embodied awareness, breathing meditation, that sort of thing.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you say that because as a psychologist, you know, the whole mind-body thing has been a big deal for at least the last 30 years. I mean, I got my graduate degree in the 80s, and we were studying body-oriented psychotherapies then, and, you know, we're beginning to listen to really great music. I mean, Gabrielle Roth is always the first person that comes to mind for me because that's, I guess, where I got introduced to that. But that idea of mind, body, spirit, it just makes sense that dance would be a way in for that mind-body-spirit connection.
Definitely. That's why, you know, I'm Tony on the call with us here. As the founder of Journey Dance, she's trained many, many teachers, and she's renowned as a person who can draw that out of people and make, you know, embodied expression.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, so I really feel aligned with her and her work with Conscious Dancer and Journey Dance because, you know, she's really getting people, in motion.
Right.
And achieving real results. Really making positive change in people's lives.
That's wonderful. And I definitely want to hear I definitely want to hear more about that from you, Tony. Before we go there, Mark, I wonder if you could very clearly give people the web address and or a phone number or a way to actually find the magazine Conscious Dancer and let us know if it's actually anywhere in Cincinnati, and if not, you know, how do people find out about it and get a hold of it?
Well, our website is consciousdancer.com.
That's really simple.
Yeah. And we're available by subscription. And just this fall, starting with the fall issue, we have made the distribution deal with Barnes & Nobles. So I'm not sure if we're going to be in all their stores or how that works, but we are available for them to, you know, choose it to be in.
Oh, how wonderful. Congratulations.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I also just noticed that you have a new website that seems to be very interactive. So just...
Yeah, that's the next thing. We call it the Move Menu. The map is called the Move Menu. Yeah, the map is something we've been wanting to build for, and it's been quite a while in coming to get it functioning the way that I feel like it would. The movement for teachers, we've got a very simple business model around people posting events and dances and ongoing classes and workshops, and really it's a service to people that are either traveling or want to find out things happening in their own town that they weren't aware of. But you know, the basic concept is, find where you are or where you're going, and I would imagine within a few months the map should be populated with most of the things happening just everywhere.
That's wonderful.
And people can find this stuff, which is a big goal.
Well, you know, I'm really glad you brought that up, because that's what I did. I went on your website, and again, for those listening, it's just consciousdancer.com, and there's a map. There is a map on there that he's talking about that, I mean, I was just stunned, really, when I looked at it, because there's stuff happening. If you want to use movement as a way to get centered, embodied, grounded, that is incredible, because you could see, and I know it's fairly new, and already there's stuff happening everywhere all the time.
Yeah. We've had a lot of uptake immediately from across the country, of course, and then Europe, Australia, New Zealand. If you zoom out and look at the globe, there's stuff happening all over the place.
Good.
The successful trainers and teachers and modality facilitators are, they get around. They're, some of them are teaching at Apollo, Epilin, Mexico, all sorts of places around the world. And, so it's exciting. There's a pollination effect happening. We want to empower that and enable it more, with
right.
The movement.
Well, so before we hear from Tony, from sort of a teacher perspective, I'd love to hear from you what dance has sort of meant to you in terms of your own spiritual growth or your own connection with yourself. I mean, the name of the show here is Inner Divinity, and so how does dance help you know that for yourself?
Well, it's a place for myself where there's a certain, it doesn't always happen on every dance floor, but, if things are going right and I'm able to really dive in, there's a quieting of the mind that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's a really spiritual place to be in the place. And I tend to get my best ideas and my best aha moments and my best inspirations about what I'm doing, how I'm living my life, how to be a better person, in the dance. So, it's like returning to the well. You got to check in, you got to go back to the well, you got to, make the effort to get there, to get the rewards. And they are spiritual rewards. It is a spiritual factor.
Right.
I don't put a lot of trappings around it personally. I mean, it's just a very simple thing that I like to do. That said, it really is, where I find reliably to find access to spirit.
Right.
And I recognize that works that way for a lot of other people.
Right.
I'm not the only one. It's nice to be in a field, so to speak, of a safe field of people that are sort of, working on accessing the same kind of thing together. So, you know, the vibration really raises in an intentional group where that's the image.
Well, you know, almost every spiritual teacher out there will tell you that the primary goal, or not even maybe goal, but the primary task, I guess, is to quiet the mind. I mean, you've just, and dance is certainly a way to do that. And it sounds like that's, you do that really beautiful. I think Eckhart Tolle talks about it so much where he says, you know, think a while from your head and then stop and think a while from your heart or your body. And then both sides of that is more clear. And it sounds like you use it that way to help you not only feel quiet and centered, but also to, as a very functional way to then take the next step, do whatever the next task is. The dance fills you up and gives you the energy and the motivation, but also the clarity to take that next step in a new way.
Yes, exactly. I'm, you know, it's kind of counterintuitive that, you know, a person could find peace and quiet, basically, you know, in a chaos dance floor. And sometimes you need to be totally chaos. You know, it's like you're in a popcorn popper. But at the same time, really, sometimes that, for myself at least, that's what it takes. I really need to shake loose all of the, you know, cobwebs from my brain and really open up that space.
Right.
So, you know, it's funny that, you know, a room full of energetic people with, you know, and high energy music can actually do that. But it's one way that it works. I mean, I wouldn't say it's the only way. I wouldn't say it's, you know, the way for everybody. But, you know, in my experience, it certainly has been more useful for me.
Yeah. Well, you know, for myself, whether I'm dancing to music by myself or whether I'm dancing with a group of people, I think part of what happens, and this might be what you're talking about, is I cease to think either about all those other people or about myself, and I really am just listening and feeling and moving, and that is in itself what's healing.
Right. And that reminds me of the point that I make about this stuff, is that for me, a spiritual experience has to be non-mediated. It has to be experienced. It has to be a felt, graspable experience that I am inside of, that I can tangibly know that I'm there. The model of so many religions and stuff, I think, is to sort of pass along the knowledge or sort of mediate in some way. And it's what's important about dance is, you know, once you're in motion, there's no mediator. There's nothing in between you and what's happening.
Right. Or you could say the mediator is your own spirit.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So you're trusting your own mediator rather than sort of outsourcing that.
Yeah. Well, see, to me, that's why I think it is a spiritual practice, is because exactly what you just said, that you're just being real with what's going on inside of you and letting yourself express whatever that is. There's no other way to be closer to God, in my opinion.
Right. And so that's, a lot of these modalities are not creating a structure where that can happen. You know, they don't necessarily give you the content, because obviously the most valuable content is that which bubbles up inside you, and once you're in that space. But a practice like journey dance or five rhythms or the different modalities that have some sort of a structure, and there's many, many different interplaying structures amongst these things. But the structure enables people to kind of let go and not be so responsible for and the other things that are going on. And in kind of safe space, a safe container, and if other people are moving in the intentional way, it's just so much easier to get there, to open up.
Wow. You know what that sounds like? It's like one of the most fun ways I can think of to actually figure out what I'm responsible for and what I'm not. You know, it's like I'm responsible for me and not anybody else. That's a good one. Because I think a lot of us have a real problem, you know, trying to take care of somebody else's business or and don't know how to stay on her own. And if you're consciously moving, then you're doing that.
Well, it can really help inform you about your boundaries and about, you know, what you've got to do to yourself as opposed to what you've got to do to other people.
Yeah. Yeah, that's wonderful. Well, Tony, I want to hear some of the similar things, I guess, from you, but the reason I waited so long is because I know, being a teacher myself, that you probably have very formulated in your own mind what it does and what it doesn't do and how it does it, and I definitely want to hear that, but I wanted to sort of hear it from Mark because, first of all, I know Mark, and I know he's into a lot of different things and that he loves doing DJ stuff, and so I sort of want to hear it from... wanted to hear it from not a teacher's perspective, but now I would love to hear from you, from a teacher's perspective, just the benefit, you know. But before we do that, tell us a little bit about who you are and how you got to where you are right now with dance.
Hi. So nice to meet you, and your conversation is just, I want to say, resonate with everything that you both have said on such a deep level, you know. I grew up in New York, right near the city, and I had that kind of life that I was leading, going to just follow in the prepaid path of, like, you know, the young, you know, person in my time period. So I was going to get a job in New York City and just do that life, and, something just wasn't matching up for me, and I discovered dance literally as part of my own personal healing. Mm-hmm. I was, you know, a big aerobic maniac. I had heard of Gabrielle Roth when I was 22, but I didn't know what that was. I was in a whole other world. I was doing step aerobics and rollerblading, and I was just, you know, out there in the fitness realm. And I ended up moving with such luck and grace up to this Berkshire area and Northampton area, and I found contact improvisation, and I found the Kapalu Center, where there was this beautiful free dance form from the past where you could just dance around, and it changed my whole perspective of what, you know, dance and movement were. I had taken, you know, lots of modern and jazz and African, and I loved to move, but I didn't have that experience of, oh my God, this is a spiritual practice. I had the experience of, oh, I'm a good dancer, I'm a good mover, you know, I could maybe perform someday if I really focus on this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But when I got into my body and out of my head and kind of discovered my heart opening, I literally burst into tears the day that I went to Kripalu Center, and I had this moment that almost scared me and threw me. I was 24 years old, and it threw me into this whole new person that was going to evolve. Wow. I had no idea that I was going to ever be a dance teacher. I mean, that is so not where I was. It wasn't like a little girl dancing. So I came and I just burst into tears on the dance floor. There's no mirror. It was a very free and open experience. And the teacher said, "You are so beautiful," to everyone. "Look how you move." And it was this whole realization that, oh my God, I have a whole body of work within me that I didn't need to be told what to do and how to move. So it really just threw me into a whole study. And then since I was 24, all I did was study every kind of, you know, movement, and I found things didn't work for me and things that did. And I was on a spiritual path of my own, which had a lot to do with meditation with a creative visualization twist to it. So we called it contemplation, where I was journeying out of the body, lots of out-of-the-body experiences. And I thought, I'm really out of the body a lot. I need to get into the body. I need to find ways to process my emotions. And slowly, over the next, you know, 10 years, I developed journey dance because it was my practice, not because I had any intention of teaching it. I went and I became a facilitator of what was once called Dance Kinetics in the early 90s, and then it has since changed to become another name. But I branched off from there because I was really doing, like, what I didn't know at the time, I was doing, you know, creative visualization is like shamanic healing. We just didn't call it that.
Right.
But I was doing this shamanic healing on the dance floor for myself. So I would come to the dance floor, I'd play the crazy music, and I would say, "Let's make a fire ceremony to the people who are in the class with me." And I was teaching, luckily for me, at Kripalu Center, which has a massive number of people constantly coming through. So I got to experiment and hone my little processes and make this craft where I was burning up my stuff in those fire ceremonies. I was not just making it up, you know. And life teaches me how to become a better person and more on my path. So basically, it was really an emotional experience that led me to finding the spiritual practice. Does that make sense?
You know, what I love about what you're saying is that you didn't set out to do something for someone else. You set out to heal yourself. And in the process of doing that, you discovered something teachable that other people can use to heal themselves.
Oh, yeah. And my greatest wish is to share healing. I mean, I do teacher training and all the big programs, and all I really care about is that people have the experience of oneness with spirit, self-love. You know, they find this God space. We can call it goddess space. I mean, I'm into the goddess at the moment. We can call it, you know, force energy, you know. But at the end of this, what I consider to be somewhat of a cathartic experience of dance, as Mark was talking about, you know, the chaos when you release all that junk, and I do some processes because I studied psychodrama for a long time.
Right.
So I do these processes where you really are releasing. I say, tell your story to the dance floor. You know, burn your junk in the fire. Like, let's just have a meet your inner shaman. I mean, go on these visualizations. I don't tell people what they're meeting and who they're meeting. I just say, meet your inner shaman. Tell your inner shaman your story and do it through movement. And then by the end of this cathartic kind of experience where they realize, oh my God, there's more to me than just my physical body. And I'm in my body right now, which is the coolest part.
Yeah.
And because spirit and my body at the same time. Right, so much of my journey was, how do you get out of the body? How do you get out of the body? Let me escape. Please help me. Let me out of here.
Well, you know, that is such a... That is so typical, I think, of our culture and trying, especially, you know, I've been involved in the healing arts pretty much my whole life, but very, very, very intensely since I had a near-death experience when I was 19. And when the first things that we knew to try to do were all these Eastern sorts of things brought into a Western culture, which means we didn't know what we were trying to do. But a lot of it was about getting out of the body, transcending.
Exactly.
And when I
first... wanted to get out of the body, too.
Yeah. And so all that astral travel stuff and all that, I did that, too, and discovered that it didn't heal anything. And it really is. That's why I jumped on the word embodied when Mark used it earlier, is because in my experience now with, like, what, 30 years of counseling or whatever, until we are in ourselves... grounded, centered, embodied, whatever you want to call that, then nothing really changes. It's all mental. It's all abstract. And dance is one of the best ways I've ever known to get out of that abstract and literally get present. And I just love to, love to hear how you're talking about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, just to share one other thing, I wanted to thank Mark, you know, publicly so that you could hear. I was so excited when Conscious Dancer magazine emerged because I said, oh my God,
yes.
I finally am doing something that can have a name. People will be able to, it'll be a practice. Because I knew that yoga, I did a lot of yoga. I was a major yogini and I was very competitive and power and all that. And what ended up happening was I found my spiritual practice on the dance floor and yoga became like more of a fitness thing for me. And I was like, what's happening here? I don't understand. I've just shifted completely. Like now dance is my spiritual practice. It kind of flipped on me.
Right.
And when he developed this word, conscious dance, I was like, okay, this is my umbrella. I can get under here and feel like I'm safe. You know, it kind of felt a little, it's a very risky thing to put yourself out there as a movement, as spiritual practice modality. I mean, because like he was talking about with religion and, you know, all of that, I was so excited. So I just jumped on this, you know, I'm into it. We talk a lot about what would be great and, you know, we share a lot of ideas and just this whole concept of conscious dance or conscious movement, whatever we're going to call it, is actually going to become a modality in itself, like yoga. Is so exciting to me, and I'm so excited to be part of that, you know, evolutionary step, truly. and do it in an embodied way, where all the amazing teachers out there and all the amazing forms, I mean, I study with Vin Marti whenever possible. I do the five rhythms practice when teachers pass through town, you know, and I continue to build journey dance as a way to teach other people who are healed by dance how to go out there and do it
right.
and hold this very safe container with a lot of possibility in it, a lot of magic.
Mm-hmm. Well, so kudos to you, Mark, and Aspen. I know the two
yeah.
of you started it. Well, you know, when I first was introduced to Conscious Dancer magazine, my very first thought when I saw it was, where has this been? This has been happening for so long, but nobody had ever pulled it together. So I just want to second what you're saying there, that, you know, as somebody who studied body-oriented psychotherapies in the 80s, I was really aware of this, but you're right, there was no umbrella for it. And the magazine, you can tell when you look at it, that it's a huge umbrella. There's tons of stuff happening in all sorts of different ways, and everybody's using it. And that's one of the things I love about it, is it is very individualistic. Even though you can find something that is, you know, suits you, because there's a lot of different types of healing through movement. And that's what I actually want to talk a little bit more with both of you about when we come back, is different types of things that are out there for people. And what I actually need to do right now is to take a little station break. For all of you folks just joining us, I want to let you know that you are listening to WAIF Cincinnati 88.3 FM on your radio dial, and also live streaming online at WAIF883.org. And we are talking with Mark Metz, publisher of Conscious Dancer magazine, and a good friend of his and a teacher of something called Journey Dance, a director, actually she created it, Toni Bergens. The show that we do every Wednesday from 1 to 3 Eastern is called Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within. And because dance has been such a vital part of my life, such a incredible healing tool that I have used, I just thought it would be wonderful to let other people know about it. I know that in the Cincinnati area, there's a lot of transformational dance going on here, and it gets called different things, and so I know there are some people who are interested, but I'm really doing this show not only for them, but for all the people who have never, ever even heard of conscious dancing or transformational dance, and I'm just wanting to let everybody know that it is an incredible way to begin or to continue a self-healing process, to really let yourself get embodied and move, because it takes you out of your mind and it takes you into your heart, into your spirit. And that's what we're going to hear a lot more about from Mark and from Toni. So I'm hoping you guys are still there, and we mm-hmm. are going to continue. Hello again.
Hi.
Well, I just want to thank both of you so much for taking the time out today to do this, because it's just been something I've been thinking about ever since I started doing this show here in Cincinnati. And so it's just a thrill. First of all, Mark, I haven't talked to you in way too long, so I'm glad just to hear your voice and know you're doing okay. But I just thought this would be such a good fit for this show, because so much of what people think about when they think about, you know, healing or spiritual growth or whatever it is they call that spirit inside of them, so much of it is abstract. And what I try to do on this show every week is make it real pragmatic, make it practical. This is what we can do. This is what we can do. Because it's not abstract. It's like, if you really want to grow, then it has to be real. It has to come from something inside of you. And dance, because it's always been such an easy way for me to find that centered place, I thought, well, I just couldn't even imagine a better interview than to talk to two people who are really focusing their lives on, Mark, you in particular, making that available in sort of the large sense of connecting everyone, and obviously Toni, with you making that available in much more of a personal kind of journey way. So thank you both.
Well, we're both, you know, us and many other people are trying to find ways to scale up our influence and our impact. And, you know, and the goal is to get more people moving. So, you know, and what's interesting about that for me is it can really mean anything because, you know, everybody's at a different stage of development at whatever year old they happen to be in life. And, you know, so for me, I mean, when I just answer, it's like it's everything from, you know, little old babies sitting around doing breath work to, you know, people at Burning Man dancing for days at a festival. You know, mm-hmm. It's a very, very wide cross-section. And I, you know, I support anybody, anywhere, any facet of it who it's working for. You know, mm-hmm. And so the content doesn't really matter to me. I mean, some of it's not my cup of tea, but it seems to be working for some other people. So, you know, it's wide open for interpretation. Yeah, you know? And like you said, everybody's an individual, so there's as many interpretations as there are people. You know?
Right, right. Well, it sounds like
that's a great thing too.
Yeah.
Nothing.
I was going to say that's a beautiful thing because some people really need, when they first open up into the conscious dance realm, they really need to be led and feel comfortable and kind of say, okay, what am I doing here? How do I do this? And then other people really need to just be set free in a big, wide open container. So thank goodness there's so many amazing forms that, I mean, I've tried a lot of things and so many places to enter. I just love that. So many places to enter the field. Yeah.
Well, you know, it sounds like either one of you could very briefly just sort of give a brief list, because I know we could talk all day about it, but just some of the very different kinds of approaches that are used, because they're names, they're words, they're things that people have never heard of, some of them. And so just hearing the name and hearing the word, I think, would be helpful.
Sure. I mean, I can lay down a few here.
Sure.
You know, to sort of zoom out at the whole umbrella of conscious dance for a minute, you've got these community dances, barefoot boogie style. Nowadays, the term ecstatic dance is quite popular. But these are all generally what you would call a freestyle dance. And it's more like a DJ. Playing, you know, set or playlist for a group of people without a lot of facilitation. Sometimes there's a closing circle or an opening circle and some structure. But generally, you know, they have in common the fact that they're barefoot, they're alcohol and scent free, and, you know, it's like quiet on the dance floor. You know, it's a dance floor generally respected as a place to move and not socialize. But, and so those sorts of dances are kind of popping up everywhere.
That's what you were calling ecstatic dance, or you're calling barefoot dance?
Well, you know, that's kind of why I came up with the name Conscious Dance and Conscious Dancer, because I was like, you know, what is it? I was like, hey, I'm going out tonight. I'm going to the barefoot freestyle dance jam, hand-holding, whatever thing, you know?
And I've been to so many of those.
Yeah, and people are like, what is that? You know, and I had someone pick up the magazine once, this woman, and she's obviously, you know, in her 40s and probably a mom and a family and everything. And she just looked at it, and it was like a big relief because she said, oh, this is great. She goes, yeah, I can just show this to my family when they ask me what I'm doing.
Well, you know, that was.
I don't have to try to explain it anymore.
Well, that was really a brilliant name, Conscious Dancer. I mean, that was brilliant because that made a big enough umbrella that everybody could fit under it.
Well, and, you know, the semantics of it have always appealed to me because, you know, I thought about it. I mean, if the magazine was called Conscious Dance, it would be really easy for people to look at it and be like, well, I don't do that, or what's that? I don't get it, or whatever, you know, because then it would be like a thing. But Conscious Dancer, people generally have about one of about three reactions when they see it for the first time. And, of course, Tony just described one, which is like, this is great, that's me. You know, I've been waiting for this, you know. And this is like, where has it been all this time, you know. People either just instantly, completely get it, and it puts it inside them. Because, you know, Conscious Dancer, oh, that's me, it's inside me. Or people are curious, and they're like, what the heck is that? And sometimes people are kind of wistful, which I think is kind of funny too. Sometimes when people are kind of like, yeah, I used to dance a lot, you know, and they're kind of like, been off in their path, their 20s, you know. Yeah, it's both of the people I'm like, mm-hmm. you know, here, take some back issues too. You know, go find a band in your town now. If you see the magazine and you're like, it brings up memories of when we used to dance, and that's definitely a signal that it's time to get on our website and find something new. But back to, you know, the different types of things that people can find. We did an issue with the magazine about a year ago. We gathered together 100 modalities in one issue of the magazine, and we broke out 10 of the biggest, most influential modalities that are more commonly available in more places, and then we gathered 90 different either smaller modalities or things that are more practitioner-based. Some of them are, you know, like styles of partner body work and such, but really the commonality between the modalities that we gathered was like, do these have an aspect of embodiment in them?
Uh-huh.
It wasn't, you know, and when we started, I was like, oh, what are we going to do, gather like 20 of them? And then we just kept going, and it was like, you know what, I think we can get to 100.
That's why I asked the question, because, you know, people say, how do you know about this, or oh, do you know about that, and then they think that's all there is, and you gathered 100 different mm-hmm. types, and then you found, I'm curious how you made that selection of the 10 out of the 100.
We really looked for things that are available more than in just one region, same modalities that had more or less reached a tipping point and had started to really spread into, you know, multiple parts of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we mentioned dirty dance, of course. Mia is another real big mind, body, fitness, spirit practice with thousands of teachers all over the world. We mentioned Five Rhythms, of course.
Right.
Five Rhythms is extremely pretty well known now. The work of Gabriel Roth definitely precedes her. There's probably 1,000 Five Rhythms teachers around the world now, would be my guess. And it's a strong community. People, when they're in the Five Rhythms, really tend to dig it and stick with it and look for it elsewhere and stuff. So, you know, and it's a map that is both very simple and easy to understand and also, you know, infinitely complex. So it's really, you know, you could travel down the road to Five Rhythms for years. And I think most of these modalities are like that. You know, that journey map, we've got, you know, wonderful practices that are unique to the practice. Other ones that we mentioned that are different, but still fall under the umbrella, you know, because Five Rhythms of Journey Dance, you know, it might look similar. You've got a room full of people kind of moving around, and you've got somebody on the mic kind of leading them. And so there's sort of that model with music in background, you know, music's part of it. And then there's things like we really love Takatina.
Uh-huh.
Takatina is a practice that is not specific, it's definitely not a free-form dance. There's a very specific structure to how a Takatina session works. And briefly, everyone is in a big circle facing in, and you've got two people in the middle, one with a berimbo, which just sort of makes a drone. It's kind of one string of Brazilian instrument, and a big bass drum.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea with Takatina is you start, they start the group moving with like, you know, okay, we're all going to take one step to the right and then two steps to the left. One step to the right, two steps to the left. So the whole circle kind of synchronizes in a simple step. And then they will add a clap to it. Or maybe you'll have a shaker in your hand, it will be a shaker. And typically, if the footsteps are like a 1-2, and the hand claps might be like a 3-5. The idea with Takatina.
Sounds exciting.
Well, you're layering up levels of entrainment. And then, specifically with Takatina, it's a very, very specific left-right framing practice that causes you to play with the edge of entrainment and chaos. Because your brain can only handle so much. But at a certain point, you know, when it's finally like, oh, you're chanting and you're clapping and you're trying to keep the step laughs, you have a bone to fall apart. And they just encourage you to lie down on the floor and laugh when that happens. You don't want to laugh. You don't want to laugh during inducting your class. You just scratch people up. And people aren't used to, like, really exercising that edge, you know, and having a face. You know it when it's working. If your brain, there's no room for any thoughts in your brain at all. Inducting is working, and you're, you know, you're somehow automatically stepping in unison with everybody. And you haven't turned up the glass, and you're dumb, whatever's coming from out, it's kind of lurking. And you get to that point where you're like, how am I doing all this? And usually if you think, how am I doing all this, that's when you fall out. You're like, oh, I thought.
Right, right. Nice.
I'm sorry, I let a thought into it. Well, that's how I'm doing, by not thinking.
Right, exactly.
I love talking to you there. There's other things that are a little, I'd say, informed by Dr. Tumor. There's body and sound.
What did you say? Body and sound?
It's called body of sound. It's a practice I went to the car, and she teaches it, you know, on the retreat center circuit. She brings in a little more like Balinese monkey chant type, real high action practice, chanting and dancing with it. And Tito, out on the West Coast.
What I'm getting from you is that it's just like we were saying, is that there's so many different ways that you can begin, and you can probably find something that resonates or suits you, because some of these are much more about, it's kind of like a yoga practice, slow, and some of these are more kinetic and high energy and just moving. Some of these, it sounds like, are very interactive. And some of these are much more inward-focused journeys. So there's just a lot of different styles.
Well, and there's many people also developing bodies that are specifically therapeutic in one way or another.
Right.
You know, the Moving for Life is one that I think they pretty much work with populations that are survivors of cancer. There's Parkinson's dance. There's people, actually Parkinson's dance is pretty popular all around the country. There's groups of Parkinson's people, doing dancing movement classes together.
How wonderful.
There's a lot of applications and interesting offshoots, that cater to them.
Yeah, there's even a teacher training for the Parkinson's yoga dance at Kripalu with one of my dear colleagues, Mega. She's working with the Parkinson's people. It's totally amazing. I'm really helping them. The workshops are packed, which means that there's a lot of early onset Parkinson's. You'd be surprised.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know that makes so much sense. I mean, when I was working with folks with developmental disabilities, especially people who had autism, sort of movement, sensory integration is what we called it, from sort of a psychological perspective. But that sensory integration work was some of the most helpful stuff that there was for people with any sort of misfiring going on in the brain, that if you can actually activate that movement center and tie it in with whatever, it was like so beautiful to watch how that could actually help someone who had autism and couldn't communicate do 45 minutes of sensory integration with them, which, you know, wound up being some sort of dance, usually. And then they could talk. I mean, it was so fascinating. So I can imagine that, what a huge difference that would make with Parkinson's, because, gosh, that's already dealing with the muscle system and the nervous system of the body. Wow. I didn't know about that. Thank you. That's really...
I'll share one more modality, Mark.
Sure.
So, you know, for me as a journey dance teacher, creator, I mean, I spend a lot of time honing my practice and really making it, you know, as amazing and as, you know, serving of all body types, you know, all ages as possible. And if sometimes I need a break and I need to go out and go away from being the container holder and go into another container. And, you know, I just love Soul Motion, Vin Marquis container, because he's like, for me, I mean, I find it hard to find a mentor sometimes, and I have a lot of, you know, life coaches, and life coaches are wonderful, and intuitive people in my life that are my coaches, but to go into someone else's dance space and feel so, you know, like I can just unravel in there and fall into a puddle of tears or just have a joyful time, I mean, but really connecting inwardly, that's another one I want to just mention.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and that's a...
Soul Motion.
that's a pretty popular one, too, Soul Motion. I mean, that's been around a while. I've heard about that. I mean, I think you can find that people doing that in a lot of different places. The same with Nia. Nia is also another one. I think I'm saying that right, Nia.
And Nia's actually much more likely to find a Nia instructor in any given town around America than Soul Motion. Soul Motion, interesting because its influence is bigger than its actual, you know, number of teachers. They're second year training teachers, but he's hugely influential because Lynn has, he calls it a movement ministry. And it's a very you know, overtly spiritual approach to it, and you can recognize somebody who's just a master at creating that space where people can access spirit.
Well, which is probably why the name stuck in my head.
Yeah, exactly.
So before we run out of time, I want to make sure, Tony, that you get a chance to tell us a little bit more, because you told us sort of your journey that mm-hmm. you took to get to where you are. But I really do want to hear a little bit more about Journey Dance, because it sounds quite similar to some of the stuff that I've done, just in terms of creating a therapeutic practice. And I'd love to hear a little bit more about the sort of the therapeutics of it.
Well, you should say that I just recently aligned with a wonderful doctor who's been actually just wrote her dissertation on Journey Dance to heal eating disorders. She's written her dissertation on it. Very excited. She's publishing it soon. So we have been, all we talk about now is how, you know, what direction are we going? Are we going to go a movement ministry direction? Are we going to go a movement therapy direction? I wish we could go both directions, because it does feel in a lot of ways like a very therapeutic container, and it also has a ministerial quality to it as well, because it's led, but it's led with a very open-ended kind of container. So a lot of things can happen. So from the perspective of the therapeutics, I'm using, my whole team and I have developed, you know, these processes, and they're really gestalt and psychodramatic in nature, mm-hmm. where, you know, my curve is kind of like, I call it the Journey Dance Flow, and we start with, you know, this is a ritual experience that you're about to have. This is ritual with imagery, music, creativity, and affirmation, with this big pool of, okay, the mystery part is what you're going to get to when you're in the dance.
Mm-hmm.
So I use, for example, I use embodiment as my first turn. It's called embodiment and awakening. So we roll and pour. I use a lot of contact, you know, things that I used to do when I studied contact and body mind centering aspects, really to get people into the skin surfaces. I have them, you know, rub up against each other like kitty cats and do the kitty cat rub, kind of a Journey Dance thing. And then people really feel like they create safety. I create some safety slowly. They go into more of a big kind of expanding through the room process. And then I like to have a playful, really big playful section. I call it funky connection, where the people meet each other through dancing, you know, with a partner for a few seconds. And sometimes we say things like, I dance with people, I look at them, and I just see them in a way that I've never seen people before. Mm-hmm. I would say for me, I felt like my spiritual arrival was when I no longer judged the dancer. I just saw the person,
right.
You know, instead of saying, oh, wow, look at how they dance. I was like, oh, my God, you're so adorable. I'm dancing with, like, you know, a 68-year-old woman. I say, you're so adorable. And she burst into laughter. She's so excited that I called her adorable. And I'm dancing with, like, you know, this 16-year-old girl who's, like, really funky. I say, you're so powerful. And everyone repeats it. We do it for each other. It's quite fun.
Uh-huh.
So once we have this beautiful, like, kind of space container, great, everyone is in the room with me. Like, we're all together. Then I put on some very evocative music, lots of orchestral, and I love, like, you know, voice, you know, operatic voices, but they're not opera, but, you know, just that kind of really powerful music. And people, I say, now let's tell your story to the dance floor. Now that you've arrived fully in your body, let's tell your story. And I acknowledge everybody has a story. As Mark put it so well, we're all on our own you know, personal growth. We're all at a different stage, and I feel like it's a big spiral. We're always going around and upwards. I'm hoping we're always going around and upwards, you know, and it's like a mountain spiral, you know, and as we go, as we delve into our own story, this is when I start bringing in these, like, kind of gestalt practice, gestalt thing. Now that you told your story on the dance floor, let's imagine this is the last time you ever told this one story. And the whole room amps up in energy to this, like, oh, my God, it just could be the last time I told this story. And I play with some really vigorous music and get people really moving. And then I start to play with the idea of, okay, I don't know how I'm going to release this pattern. I only know that I am by moving my body. And it's kind of like chaos, you call it at that point in the five rhythm terminology, but really moving supercharged music, like, you know, like really, you know, constant beat, and people just start, you know, sweating and starting, and I like to encourage a lot of noise. It's kind of noisy in my room. But then after this, what I call the shamanic phase, I call it the shamanic because we do usually some kind of a fire ceremony where you can let go of something, where you can create something in the fire. I love this new concept. So I have people step into, you know, like the A position and the B position. And in one position, I say, this is me. This is me and my authenticity and all of my stuff. And then step two steps across. And this is me in my higher self. Touch the ground. Touch the sky. Make a big sound. Oh, and everyone's like, oh, my God, okay, I'm owning my inner shaman. And then step back. I say, now ask your inner shaman for guidance and do it through a dance. And people are just, some people are have their eyes closed all the time and they're having conversations. Some people are moving like, you know, crazy doing their dance with the inner shaman. Then you step into the inner shaman role and you do the healing. And I've learned so much as I do this practice over and over for myself. I can actually move my own energy now. Yes. As like, I'm not even standing there anymore and I'm moving the energy. I say, open your heart, move your hand, you know, open, move any areas of discontent in the body, any pain, any disease, you know, move that out, use your hands. And then we do this clearing ceremony where we get all that energy out of the room. It's kind of fun and playful. But for someone who's never done this before, they're like, oh, my God, I can access all these parts of myself. And then we move into, the, you know, the heart. And then everyone is, you know, the whole musical element changes and we drop deeper and we drop deeper. And then we go into a prayer, which is when there's this thing that happens. And it's really, you know, this is all just me. I'm in the moment with the dancers, all my teachers. We try to take the journey with you as opposed to holding it from the edge because we want to be feeling it with our energy body, you know, kind of sensing what is happening. Mm-hmm. And what happens to me at this point and to most of the people who have come on my, you know, on my path and become teachers is they drop so deep into themselves that they really do have that I am connected with spirit, that total source awareness moment where their eyes are open or closed, doesn't matter to me, and they're moving just from pure, I don't know what to say, prana, pure existence, pure chi, you know, they clear all the stories. And you could come in every day with a different story to deal with because, you know, we're full of, I won't say the word online, we're full of stuff. We stories and lots of emotions. So my therapeutic aspect is about having a place to express your emotions in a safe container, whether they be anger or grief. We have a grieving circle that we do at times of trouble in the world. Like it was a big, horrible, you know, earth accident when I was doing a workshop and I developed this piece called the grieving circle where we all just stood and let people get in the center and do this emotive grieving dance because we have no places for this in our culture. It's so tightly, you know, we're so tightened down. Of course, not in California, but here on the East Coast,
well, I was just gonna ask you, when are you going to be in Cincinnati exactly?
All right, let's get me on your list there, and you can check out where I'm going to be. You're very cute. Thanks for the invitation. I'm going to call you later. I have a whole schedule on journeydance.com. You can find, you know, where I travel, and there's tons of teachers now. It's very exciting. I have probably 300 active teachers now.
Wow.
And some are in Abu Dhabi and Japan and China. We have our first Copenhagen and our first China this year. I'm very excited. And we have lots of East Coast and some Midwest, Texas, some California. We're getting there.
Well, let's tell people that. Let's tell people that that web address again to find out more about what you're doing. It's Journey, JOURNEY, journeydance.com.
Yeah, and there's a whole very easy access to find things. We actually have a little map of our own of the Journey Dance teachers. They can go to find a teacher, type in their zip code or their state or their city and hopefully find someone in their area. And if not, they can come and become that person in their area.
Right. Right. Well, you know, so, I don't know how you could possibly do what you just described and not call that therapeutic. I mean, goodness. And it's holistic. I mean, that's what I love about it, is it's W-H-O-L, holistic. Because you're not just focusing on, like, psychodrama. You're not just focusing on acting out emotion. You're not just focusing on being in touch. It's like you really have created this huge whole bodied whole person.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's like you've created something that will address the whole person. You know,
I love that. That is my fantasy. That is my dream. That is my intention. So
great.
I thank you for hearing that.
I think you're doing
it. At the end of the class, you know, people don't even want, they're just sitting there kind of like totally present. And I teach, you know, at the Follow Center regularly, and people just sit there, and I have to say, okay, everybody, we're going to leave the room now. I created this ritual goodbye to get them standing up again at the end, because after Shavasana, they're just totally, it's like you can hear a pin drop.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of that level of presence, and you feel the electricity in the room, and you just want to sit in that. So I have this little ritual. You take a little cup, and you dip it into the space, and you drink it. Drink a cup of tea, So to have people say goodbye in a way that feels good. And I say to them, you know, now when you see each other in the hall, you're going to have a whole new awareness of who this person is.
Mm-hmm.
Because you went there with them. It's not like just, hey, how you doing, what's up, as friends. It's like when you dance with someone in any of these containers, you know, all of these amazing conscious dance containers, it's like that's where my people are.
Right.
These are the people who you say, wow, now I know you. Oh, my God, I didn't know you were so beautiful.
Right.
I only know you as that person I see at the supermarket.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, and, you know, I think, I mean, both of you are inspiring me, and I'm going to say this for all the other people out there who have had a similar experience to me. I mean, I love dance. I've always loved dance. It's saved my life repeatedly. And most of my dance has been a very internal process. And yes, I've gone and, you know, tried out all these, well, not all these, my goodness, there's definitely not 100 I've tried out. But I have gone and tried various, you know, modalities and forms, and I'm just not a group kind of person, unless I'm leading the group, of course, then I have a blast. But it's like my work has all been so internal, and both of you are really inspiring me to, I don't know what that would be called, take that up a notch, you know?
You know, when we're mentioning modalities, you know, I didn't burn a few more, but, you know, like, for instance, authentic movement is a title of a practice that's pretty widespread.
Mm-hmm.
And authentic
very
movement,
powerful.
Yeah, and authentic movement, you know, you do it in a pair with someone else, but, you know, you dance your story, you do your movement, and they watch, and they witness, and then you sit down and kind of compare notes, and I'm probably not describing it completely accurately, but to just look at it from the outside, that's what it looks like. So it's going on. One person is moving and telling something, and then, you know, there's a big aspect of witnessing.
Right.
And taking your turn to express. And that's a completely different aesthetic than being in, you know, a room with a bunch of, you know, long-haired yogis bouncing around.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
can I share something about that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, because I did a lot of authentic, you know, as I was going through my healing stage before I even developed Journey Dance. And after working with Vin, I was very inspired to do a bunch of witnessing in Journey Dance. So what I'll share with you is what's so interesting, when you step into the witness role, so now, like, I'll play a heart dance and you'll get a partner, and I'll say one person dances, the other person witnesses, and when you finish with your phrase, you'll change roles.
Mm-hmm.
And witnessing is so powerful that you actually feel, you know, you can, number one, you might be moved to tears, and number two, you might be inspired and harness the energy of witnessing. It's like there's something about seeing beauty in every movement rather than being all, you know, quotes around it, dance that you're watching. Do you know what I mean? It's like it takes people to a whole nother level of empathy, and then that hopefully will trickle out into the world. That's like my whole goal is empathy. How do we get empathy so we make the right choices? And witnessing and those kinds of practices just totally amp that up to the next level. Just want to share that.
Oh, absolutely, because to watch a performance you know, you're automatically in a judgment mode. You're automatically in a critical sort of mode. But to actually make a connection, but to make a connection, which is what you're talking about, to make a connection, that is where empathy happens, is through the connection, through the resonance, through the understanding. And so empathy then can occur through the connection that you're talking about. I think a lot of people don't go and do the group type dance things because they think more in terms of performance. I know I've talked with a lot of people about getting involved with movement stuff, and they're like, oh, I could never dance in front of a lot of people. And what I usually wind up telling them is, first of all, you won't even notice those other people if you really get into it. And second of all, when you do get to the place where you're wanting to notice those other people, you're going to have a connection that you're probably going to discover that you have been yearning for and didn't even know what it was called. Because that's been my experience.
Yeah.
I think what Mark is
doing with the magazine is connecting so many amazing people. I'm so proud to even be part of it, even be in the magazine, that what he's done is, like, so now we're taking all these modalities and we're connecting with each other and seeing, and, like, really just, I mean, it's an amping up of the whole, you know, evolutionary process of spirituality, of empathy, of connection, and creating this web. He's really helping to create this web of love, I have to say it boldly, of love through the world. And hopefully we will just keep being these sparks of love through dance, and, you know, we'll make some serious progress.
Well, and you can already see that happening, can't you? I mean, Mark, I mean, just from your perspective, Mark, of when you started the magazine and just the evolution of Conscious Dancer magazine from when you started to now, look at what the offerings are, and not only in terms of quantity, but quality.
Yeah, there's so much more happening now. I mean, you know, I don't think it's just starting. I think we're still just, like, just being the tip of the iceberg. You know, there's so many ways to bring body into spirit. And that's, you know, all these things that are, you know, there's a tremendous opportunity. You know, you know, show me your body, like, how could there be room for another one? I don't think there's room for more.
Oh, right. Well, it's like I say, yeah. I've often said there are as many paths to God as there are blades of grass. And that it's the same thing of, in terms of having a sense of wholeness, which is what the mind-body-spirit movement that I've been involved in my whole life, that sense of wholeness, you get there however you get there. And thank God there are 1,000 ways to get there, because we're all, in one way, we're very individualistic. I mean, in another way, we're all very similar. But for each of us, because of where we've been, and not only where we are, but where we want to go, then it's like something different is going to resonate, not only with me, between me and you, but for me at different times in my life. So thank God there is.
Oh, yeah.
There's all these different, there are all these avenues to go.
Yeah, when you use the expression, you know, it's all fingers pointing at the moon. You know, when you talk about spirituality or religion, they can all point at the moon.
Yeah, you know what I wanted to share? I want to share before we run out of time just about one thing about conscious dance as a modality that has now got a name and it's got, you know, got real power behind it, is that it's such a non-judgmental type of dance form. You can't make a mistake in pretty much any of these containers that we mentioned.
That's right.
What I think people fear. They fear dance because they think, oh my God, like, that's why when I talked about witnessing, it's, I don't look at people and say, oh my God, look how her left foot is and her right foot is. No, I'm seeing the story, the emotion, the spirit of that person, right? So in all these modalities that we've mentioned, there's so much. I mean, some of them, you know, are a little bit more technical and you'll have to follow some steps, but most of these modalities in the conscious dance world are about, yes, they're going to teach you how to move better. You'll get suggestions, right? You'll get inspirations of how to move differently and expand your movement repertoire, but it won't be like, oh, that was not right. I'm sorry, can you step, can you do that again?
Right.
Or you won't fall out of line. You know, like when I used to go to the jazz class, like the fancy in New York City studying, and be like chasing the people, like, oh my God, I missed that leap. I have to go back and do the turn correctly. You know, so it's a totally free and safe and much more inviting environment for the quote, you know, someone who doesn't think that they're a dancer. So I just want the people to hear that, that any of these modalities are going to be so welcoming for you. And those people will just be so happy that your energy is there, because that's what builds community. It's just the energy. It doesn't matter how your body moves or looks, right, or whatever. So, and more men are coming to the dance, which is so great. I'm going to tell you, mostly women, but more men are coming to mine too.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, it's a way of kind of training people to be more perceptive about energetic bodies. Because like you said, something you said earlier, it's like, you know, when you're witnessing or when you're, you know, you're really sharing that space with somebody, you see them as they are, not as who they are projecting or what their agenda is in regular life or whatever. So, you know, and, you know, these things somehow make people more empathic, make people more heart open, make people more grounded, embodied, generous. And, you know, I just think that's good for our world, right? And I tend to be one that likes to work on solutions rather than work against problems. So, you know, I feel like there's a lot of room to grow when it comes to looking around and seeing how much movement would be good for people in their lives, you know?
Yeah, that's beautiful. I'm really glad you brought that up, that it is a very non-judgmental, very compassionate, very empathic space. Certainly any that I've ever been to. The point really is that interconnection, and from there then making an outer connection. And if you're in that space of being connected with yourself, you're not projecting your own stuff on the other person, which is what we're usually seeing and judging. You're actually seeing them for who they are.
When you love yourself,
yeah,
on the deep level, and you really love yourself and see yourself as a soul in a body living this amazing journey, which sometimes is hard and sometimes is fantastic, you become just a much more compassionate,
yes,
person, and then you can love so much. Like, I'm such a better lover when I'm loving myself than when I have kids and family and I've got lots of people to manage. And when I get over the top, I'm not a good lover anymore. You know what I'm saying? Like, we've got to replenish and take time for ourselves. And the dance time is like, people say to me, and many people have said it for Nia and Vibrhythm and Emotion and Journey Dance and all the forms that are out there, that it's like therapy.
Yeah.
It's like cheaper than therapy and just as powerful and maybe even more spiritual. I don't know, again, no offense to therapy, but I'm saying it's a different type of thing than talking about your story. You know, it's like going into the altered state. It's an altered state. It follows a hypnotic container. You know, you actually go into a hypnotic place in many of these forms, and that's why people are so attracted to it, because we don't have the shamanic element in our lives on a daily basis, right?
When I first started noticing these things and going to various classes that were, you know, real modalities that were led with some sort of, you know, knock or structure, I was like, wow, this is like life coaching through movement. You know, this is why having a session with life coach, except, you know, my head's not going to explode, because really I just need one or two good sound bites in my head to relate, you know, make the change in some way today. And the rest of it's about moving and getting out of my own way to let that message be received, you know. So, I mean, it's not about the quantity of, you know, it's not about a lot of download or a lot of information passing, you know. I mean, some of my most transformative moments in the dance floor have been, you know, just a real little tiny lyric in the song sneaks in, you know, just some little tiny phrase or just a little bit can really, really stick and really be that part that, you know, moves the waterline of my existence in one way or another. So, you know, I've been around the circuit of, you know, transformational seminars, that's the world and stuff. It's, you know, I know quite life coaches and I love that sort of thing. But I really think that, you know, when the body gets into the mix, you've got a way better chance of having some effective change. If you want to transform, I can't just think, well, I'll just outsource my brain and it'll transform and everything else will be better.
There has to be that holistic connection, that holistic approach. It's one of the reasons I stopped being a therapist a number of years ago, because I needed something that was much bigger than mental. And the body stuff is certainly a way to do that. Well, you know, we are just about out of time here, you guys. And I just want to thank both of you so much. I've enjoyed this, and I'm inspired. And I am going to find a group to go play with here somewhere soon. But before...
I want to go, too. Now I'm all excited. I want to go dancing.
Yeah, I know. Well, I want to go dancing.
I got online. I know there's the community dances in Ohio, at least. And I'll make sure I get that information to you. I didn't have it.
Oh, good. Well,
to the call.
I'm sure
there's some good folks doing some great dance work around there. In other words.
Yeah, I've already actually gotten some emails from a couple of folks, so who found out I was doing this. So let's just once more make sure people know Conscious Dancer Magazine is the place to find out where any sorts of movement, holistic movement, is going on. And you can find Conscious Dancer, which is the name, ConsciousDancer.com. Is there a phone number for the few people who don't have computers?
Oh, sure, yeah. You can always call our office direct. It's 510-778-9131. We love hearing from real live people.
Good.
We're trying to forever better tailor our customer service and our people to the better. So
let's give phone number one more time.
510-778-9131. That's 510-778-9131.
Good.
And ConsciousDancer.com. And on our website, we've got something called the Move Menu. And actually, you can even go to movemenu.com, and it'll just spit you right out on that page as well. So that's
super.
So the Move Menu. I think everyone is invited.
And you can find out what's going on in your area just by looking at that map. It's quite amazing. And just to close up with you, Tony, again, your website is journeydance.com.
Yep, I just searched for an Ohio teacher. I found a gorgeous Margot who just completed Module 1. So we have somebody in Talmadge. I don't know where that is. I have to look at a map. But got at least one Ohio fabulous wild woman goddess out there. So feel free to check out journeydance.com for all events, and feel free to come visit anywhere you'd like, and hope to dance with you soon.
And do you have a phone number for those who are not online?
413-528-0636.
Got it. Well, again, I just want to thank both of you so much. I've had such a good time. And Mark, it's been way too long. We have to connect.
Yeah, we'll connect online, Lisa. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. It's been a real treat.
All right, well, it was good to meet you too, Tony. I'm glad we were able to get you on the air.
I really enjoyed talking with you, so I wish you great luck on your show and all the other things that you do.
All right, thank you so much. You guys have a wonderful day, and the next time you're dancing, you think of me, because I'm going to be there too.
Oh, all right. Much love to the listeners in Ohio and beyond online. Really appreciate everyone tuning in, and thank you for the movement life. So, thank you.
Wonderful, Mark. Thanks. Can you keep up the good work, honey?
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye, you guys. Well, wasn't that just amazing? Oh, I'm so excited. You are listening to WAIF Cincinnati 88.3 FM on your radio dial and live streaming online at WAIF883.org. I am Reverend Louisa Dyer, your host every Wednesday from 1 to 3 Eastern, for the show Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within. And I really just want to thank all of you who tuned in today. We just had a wonderful interview with Mark Metz of Conscious Dancer Magazine and Tony Bergens, who does Journey Dance. And we've been talking a lot about getting your body and soul aligned for lots of different reasons. I sure do hope everyone has been enjoying the show today. I have just had a wonderful time. And I love the radio so much, and I'm so grateful to everybody who supports the show. And one of the ways that I show that gratitude is on my website, which is just my name, louisadyer.com. There is a free higher self-guided meditation, so that if you want a way to get in touch with your own inner divinity, to find that higher self, that God spark within yourself, and you haven't been able to do that on your own, well, we just heard today that you can do that through dance now, so I'm hoping you're doing that too. But if you want a little guided meditation, there's one on my website, and you can download that for free. And I hope you do. And there is also a Facebook page for this show. And so on Facebook, that is called Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within. I put that up there so that people can make suggestions, talk about what they want to talk about, give any comments, feedback. Tell me what kind of things you really want to hear about. I really would love to see some interaction on that page between listeners. So by all means, if you're on Facebook, find Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within, and let's get some connection happening there. I am going to play a little bit more music by Gabrielle Roth. Enjoy.